Welcome to Make and Decorate, a podcast for makers who love to sew, quilt, and decorate. Everyone, welcome to the Make and Decorate podcast. This is season 4, episode 82. The topic for today's episode is textiles for home decor. But first, we'll have a little bit of chit-chat. So happy March, everyone. This coming weekend is spring ahead or daylight savings time for us here. I don't know. There's certain parts of the states that don't turn their clocks back and forth, which would be kind of nice. But every time I say I just want it, you know, the one time the whole year round, when we get that extra hour of daylight, it is kind of fun. So next week, we will have that extra hour of daylight for the rest of the spring and summer. So we are in the beginning of a volatile seasonal weather transition. It's just that crazy time of year. Winter's trying to hang on, spring's trying to bump its way in, and last week it warmed up for a couple of days in the high 60s, even I think reached 70 on one day in the weekend. And it melted all the snow, and then Monday dipped back down in the 30s, it snowed. Tuesday, it's melting because it's in the 40s. And then in another day or so, it's going to be back down in the 20s. And then by Sunday, it'll be 55 again. But don't worry, it'll dip right back down after that day. It's crazy. It really is. You just really have to pay attention to the weather. Otherwise, you will not know how to dress for the day. You'll either be way overdressed or way underdressed. That's what's happening so far with this seasonal fight for the season's weather. I have something new to share with you. I added a send voicemail button to the podcast blog page. Any page in the podcast blog, you will see in the middle of the right-hand side in a purple button with white letters, and it says send voicemail. You can click on that and you can send me a voicemail. It'll send like a little audio file right to my email. And you can ask a question. So you can ask a design question like interior decorating, sewing, quilting, whatever, make and decorate wise. And I will play them on the podcast and answer them. Let's see who will be first. I tested it out. It's a lot of fun. You get 90 seconds and you can, replay and I think re-record that sort of thing. It's just like a regular voicemail. So try it out. Okay. I want to see some questions for the next episode. All right, so that is a brand new thing for the podcast. Here are some updates on what I've been making. Last week, Aurifil Thread sent an email. They shared a link to Pat Sloan's blog where there is a free block pattern designed for Quilters Stand with Ukraine. There is also a UNICEF donation link to help children and families in Ukraine. So both of those links were in the Aurifil email that they sent out if you're on their email list. And also if you go to Pat Sloan's blog, all of that information is there as well. So I was really moved by this and immediately donated to UNICEF and pulled fabric from my stash in the blue and yellow colors of the Ukraine flag. And I made Pat Sloan's block. It's really nice. And she has in her pattern where you can make the single block. And I believe the finished size of this block is 18 inches square. So it makes a nice mini quilt that could be hung on a wall, which I think is what I am going to do. There is also a pattern, and I think maybe the block sizes might be a little smaller, but it's for a throw size quilt. So you can make a block or you can make a full size quilt from that free pattern. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's just, it's such a horrible humanitarian crisis, and it's just been very depressing to watch what's happening over there. And we all want to do something to help Ukrainians at this dark time. And it seems, you know, it's really hard. It's just but people are getting creative. I have seen these brothers, their kids, and they raised thousands of dollars for Ukraine, and they were doing something, I don't know, I think it was like basketball related. I don't know for sure, but I saw just a glimpse of that on the news. And other people were buying online from shops in Ukraine, and they were on the news too. And the one person said she didn't care if she, you know, got the item or not, because of course, you know, things aren't flying in and out of there right now. But she just felt good that she was helping a small business owner over there. And yeah, so any way we can do that is great. I'm also working on this commission quilt. It is a king size Irish train quilt, and there are at least 1,000 pieces to this quilt. One size alone, this 2.5 by 4.5, there are 532 of those that I have to cut out. So I think that the cutting is probably going to be the most time consuming, I think. So once the piecing, can continue, then, I think I'll definitely be sort of on the other side of the hill. Let's hope so. Cause it seems like right now it seems like cutting and cutting and cutting, and, there's still more to cut, but I love the fabrics that I'm working with. And, of course, this is the one that loves the Liberty fabrics as much as I do. So I'm using really pretty Liberty fabrics, and yeah, it still is fun. It's just it just takes a little longer than what I really think that it should take. That's on the table. That's not moving from the table. And I do work on it when I work at home, and then other things that I want to sew or make, I am doing that downstairs in our living room. During, you know, evening TV time. I've got my little travel Bernina set up down there. I love doing that. It's a lot of fun, and it's amazing how much more I get done when I just spend a few hours in the evenings working on some things. One of the things I am working on is making another Lucky Juju cat doll for my other niece, whose birthday is coming up in May. And they're pretty simple for me to make. And because they're small pieces, it's very easy to make this on the little machine downstairs. So then I don't have to interrupt my big project on my big studio table and sewing machine there. And I've been making, so it's a little bit different, of course, than the other one. So each niece will have, you know, it's the same cat doll, but different colors. And it's so cute. I just love making those. The cat doll part is done. I'm on the hand embroidery part that I added. It's not part of the pattern, but I am hand embroidering the name of my niece on the front with a heart underneath it. On the back side, on the bum, I put my initials and 2022, the year that I've made this. I decided that I wasn't sure when I made the first one. I'm like, oh, this is just going to be for the baby that's turning 2 in February. And oh, she already turned 2. We're in March now. Yeah. So then I'm thinking that doll was just not that hard to make. There's so many great things about it, and heirloom quality. And the girls love the dolls. and stuffed animals. So I decided, I bet. And also, I'm sure her sisters are going to want one too. That's the other thing. Like when one kid gets one thing, you kind of have to get them all when they're very close in age like that. And they are all very close in age. And when I was growing up, I'm the oldest of six, and my parents had to do the same thing. My mom learned pretty quickly that when you get the one kid one thing, they all have to have the same, and that's how it works. I'm also queuing up some clothing patterns that I want to make, and I have the patterns already. I got them last year. One of them is the Concord T-shirt by Cashmerette Patterns. And another one by Cashmerette Patterns is the Dolman top. And the third one I wanted to make is made by Ray Patterns. It's a downloadable PDF of these are wide leg pants made out of woven fabric. There's a couple of different lengths you can do, the full length or a cropped length. I'm going to start with a cropped length since we're eventually going to be getting into warmer weather. This pattern is called the Rose Pants. The thing that really has driven me to try to fit this in between everything else I'm making is that the ready-made retail clothing for me has gone down in quality and not in price. It's from since the pandemic. I think companies just have to, well, they don't have to, but they are cutting some corners. And there's a specific brand of t-shirt that I always got, actually a couple of them. One of them was Eddie Bauer, and those used to always be very good quality. And now the cotton that they use, it doesn't hold their shape. They stretch out of shape. And they're still, you know, not inexpensive. The other reason for this is that it feels good to be able to make my own clothes and have something that no one else has. And it's like couture custom made by me. When I made that emerald top last year from Essex Linen Fabrics, which is also a pattern of Made by Ray, I wore it all the time, and it made me happy to wear it. So that's another reason why I want to make some more clothing. And also, there's many more patterns out there that have, you know, stylish designs and patterns and in the sizes with easier adjustments to make. It's not as difficult as it was 10, 15 plus years ago. I mentioned this on another podcast, but I'm going to mention it again, that you can have PDF patterns printed either by your local shops like Office Depot, Staples, that sort of thing, or online printers. I got a bunch of patterns printed last year by pdfplotter.com. They're an online printing source, and they make copy shop size pattern files. They do a lot of sewing patterns. Lots of people use them. They're very affordable as well. They will print black and white or colors, because sometimes the patterns have the different sizes and different colors, which might make it easier for tracing and cutting out. It really couldn't be easier. I just upload the copy shop formatted file. Most PDF patterns have that format when you download the pattern. If you print out from your own printer the PDF file, you're taping together like a jillion pages of letter size paper to make the bigger page to cut out your pattern. The copy shop file is formatted in that big paper format. So you just upload it and check out your cart. And then in about a week or so, you'll have your nice large paper printed patterns delivered to your doorstep. And it sounds like sounds like a little ad for them, but it's not. They are not sponsoring me. On the topic of reading, I joined Kindle Unlimited, a 6-month subscription. They have a special going on. It's 50% off for 6 months. It's pretty reasonable. And there's thousands, maybe 10,000 books and magazines that you can download and read to your Kindle, iPad, or tablet. Well, for free, but basically you did pay for it with a monthly subscription. And I've been reading a lot recently. As I mentioned in a previous podcast, I am reading more at bedtime and turning off the TV screen. I recently saw a discussion in one of the social media groups, sewing groups, and the topic they were talking about and had many different opinions was machine quilting, free motion quilting, how do you start and stop and secure your threads when you're quilting? There's many ways to do this. I think there are three basic ways that most people do it. And the first one is the traditional way, the way that you want to do it if you're sending a quilt in to a juried quilt show. And that is to leave a tail of threads. Basically, when you start your stitch for machine or free motion quilting, you pull up your bobbin thread to the top. And then you pull that and the needle thread out by about 5 inches. And then either then or later, you tie a knot with those two threads. And then you thread your needle and you pull the thread just behind the top of the quilt top in between that and the batting. And then you pop that knot through and that secures your start stitch, and when you end, you do the same thing. It can be a time-consuming thing, especially if you are doing a lot of starts and stops, changing thread colors, and I'm sure that can get very overwhelming for some. And even, you know, with baby quilts, I don't do that method. The second method is using just your thread cutter on your machine. However, before you cut your threads, and that is only with ending the stitches. With starting the stitches, you're still going to have threads at the top. I would always still bring my bobbin thread up, and you could start with smaller, tiny stitches to secure the thread with the quilt, and then just clip the threads later. And then when you're done and you need to stop quilting to start another section or something, you would make your stitch smaller and then cut your threads with your thread cutter again. You will still have to trim those little tiny, because when your machine cuts your threads, it still leaves like a half an inch or so of thread sticking out. That's not really my favorite method to do anymore. I usually only do one or the other. I do the traditional one I just talked about, and I do this one, which is actually, I recently learned about a program on my machine. So there's a programmed sequence of stitches. So I just press a button for the quilt securing stitch, and the machine will automatically start and stop the quilting with the tiny stitches already programmed in there. And then after it secures about 5 stitches, then it switches to the normal stitch length. And then it has a little button waiting for you to press when you tell the machine, all right, I am done. So secure off my stitches and I'm ending here. And it does the same thing. It'll automatically change back down to the tiny stitches and finish off and secure the threads. It's similar to the second method I talked about. It's just that method is manual and this one is a bit more automatic. I like to do that with baby quilts and everyday things like that because, you know, who has the time to be sitting and tying all of the threads if it's just, you know, just not really going to be a showpiece or something maybe special that you're giving away. For instance, if I'm making a wedding quilt, I think I would pay a lot more attention and probably bury the threads because it is definitely a much more clean and professional look to the quilt. So that was the discussion. I'm curious to hear how you guys secure your quilting stitches at the start and the ends. Let me know. Give me a DM. You can even give me a voicemail now. Use the voicemail button. But how do you start and stop and secure your quilting stitches? Before I jump into the main topic, I just want to remind you about my Patreon group, Make and Decorate. And it's a way to support the podcast. And every month you will get a bonus podcast episode and you choose the level of support that you want to subscribe to every month. You can also cancel anytime. You can restart again anytime. So check it out at my Patreon page, Make and Decorate. There's a link, always a link in my podcast blog page. And don't forget about the Make and Decorate Friends Mighty Networks groups. This is completely free and it is similar to the other social media groups, but it's private. There's no ads, algorithms, anything. So it's just us in there chatting with each other, posting our makes, and bonding with our community. There's one more new thing I want to share, and it is a sponsor page on my podcast website. So if you go there and click on the menu and go to the sponsor of the podcast page, information will be there. It's a flat rate. And if you're a business of any size, consider sponsoring an episode of the podcast. And this is going to be not dynamic. It's going to be once you're on that episode, you're there. So if other people go back and listen to the episode a few weeks or months, even a year down the road, your ad will still be on that podcast episode. Let's get into the main topic of textiles for home decor. In episode 69, I had a similar topic on how to choose the best upholstery for you, and I briefly went over some types of upholstery fabric, so it overlaps a little bit in this episode. However, this is a deeper dive into home decor textiles, how they are categorized and designed for specific uses. This information will help you if you use an interior designer or decorator, or if you go into a furniture store and need to choose fabrics for your furniture, draperies, or even going into fabric stores like Joann's or Calico Corners. You'll know what to look for and the specific use that the fabric needs to be for your project. And it will help you if you want to make your own home decor and how to choose fabrics for your project there as well. Also in how to use quilting fabrics for home decor projects, where it will work and where it will not work. Let's just start from the beginning. What is home decor fabric and how is it different from other fabrics? The main thing is the thickness of the fabric, the weight, and the size. Home decor fabric is usually standard width of 54 inches wide, as opposed to quilting fabrics and some apparel fabrics that will be 44 inches, 43 inches wide. The width of this home decor fabric can vary. It can go up to 118 inches wide, and the purpose of that is mostly for window treatments. Home decor fabric has a lot of fabrics that might be treated with stain repellent, like Nanotech and Krypton. And this is the reason the care maintenance recommends solvent cleaning or professional dry cleaning only. If you clean with water-soluble cleaners, it will remove that stain-repellent sealant, and it will also remove the sizing that they use to make the fabric really crisp. It's very similar to the sizing that's in quilting fabrics. You know how it's very crisp when you get it right off the bolt, but then if you pre-wash it, it's the sizing's gone, so it's just the fabric in its natural state, wrinkled and soft. There are many types of home deck fabrics, and we will start off with upholstery fabric. Upholstery fabric has a backing, or most, not all of them, but a lot of them will have a backing that stabilizes the fabric for structure, and it will eliminate stretch. It's similar to the concept of ironing on the fusible SF101 stabilizer to your cotton fabric for bag making, clothing, and so forth. The fabric, upholstery fabric, is also a much heavier weight because it needs to withstand a lot of daily use, and it will most likely be what we call railroaded. This is actually a very confusing term, and designers have to stop and think all the time too, because it has to do with direction of the pattern or print that the fabric comes off the roll from. Home deck fabric comes on cardboard cylinder rolls, you know, like a paper towel roll. So it's just bigger. It's not on those little square rectangle cardboard things that you see in the quilt stores. It's a long, tall, round, so that you won't have wrinkles and creases in the fabric. If a fabric is railroaded, it means that it rolls off of the bolt with the pattern, with the direction from selvage to selvage. So the pattern direction is basically only 54 inches long. And this is because upholstery fabrics generally cover bigger pieces. And to avoid seams going across a sofa, you would want a pattern to be on the short ends of top and bottom, selvage to selvage, versus the other way around, where it's from the beginning of the roll, infinity, down to the end of the roll. So the pattern will be upright in the right direction when it's put onto a sofa. And a sofa can be 90 inches long. So if it's railroaded, you will not have you won't have a seam breaking up the pattern. Because of the heavier weight, thickness of upholstery fabrics, and if they have a backing, acrylic or knit backing, it really should not be used for draperies or lighter weight purposes. You will just not get you won't get the right performance out of it. It'll be way too thick. It definitely will not pleat up at all if you're making it into draperies. So that's one thing to consider about upholstery fabrics. You really should just use upholstery for upholstery and pillows. The next category of home deck fabrics are multi-purpose use fabrics. This is probably the biggest, widest selection and category of fabrics because, like it says, multi-purpose, it could be used for upholstery, it could be used for drapery, it could be used for pillows, bed coverings. It just depends. And so you still, even though it says multi-purpose, you will still need to look at the pattern repeat, which direction it's going, and for what use you're going to use it for. The fabric is usually a mid-weight, and it will not have upholstery backings. It'll just be the fabric. And it's between a drapery weight and a light upholstery weight. These patterns can run off the bolt railroaded or regular. You will want to use this fabric for light upholstery, like maybe for benches or accent chairs that don't get heavy, heavy use. And you can also use it for draperies, Roman shades, bed coverings, pillows, all of that. The next category of home decor fabrics are window treatment or drapery fabrics. These fabrics are lightweight so that it drapes beautifully when it's made into draperies. Also, it's treated with stain repellent, or can be. It's not across the board, but a lot of the higher end companies will treat all of their fabrics with either a stain repellent and or even a lot of sheer fabrics will be treated with a UV protection. Again, it will not have a backing because it's meant for lightweight use of draperies. The pattern will sometimes be very large, so it'll have a large repeat, because in draperies, large repeats really make that bold statement and look really great. If you have a little teeny tiny mini pattern on there, it'll get lost. Not that you can't do it, but that's one of the things that will happen. The other thing is, for draperies, it will come off of the roll regular, which means that the pattern repeat goes down the roll. It doesn't go across selvage to selvage. And that means that you won't have a seam down the length of a drapery panel. So the roll can be however long. It could be 20 yards long, and it will be one continuous piece of fabric with the repeat going all the way down. So that's really great for long window treatments. Sheer fabrics, again, like I said earlier, will sometimes be 118 inches wide for drapery use. It will be cotton, linen, or polyester sheer. And it's really nice to be that wide, because it's less work and less seams to sew. A designer tip here. Synthetic fabrics like polyester does not take shape very well or drape very well. When it's blended with, let's say, cotton, like a cotton polyester, it's so much better. And it will do, especially like with sheer fabrics, if it's a polyester or organza sheer, it will, what we call a messy ball gown look. This type of fabric will not mold or take shape at all. It will just poof out. And that kind of gives you a messy look. And in draperies, you want these really pretty rounded folds coming down from the pleats. This is why a lot of fabric mills will blend polyester with natural fibers like cotton or linen, and that will actually produce a very nice drape and look beautiful. The final category of home deck textiles I'll talk about today is trim, or passementerie. Passementerie is a French word, and it means an ornamental edging or trimming, like such as tassels. It could be made of braid, of cord, of gimp, beading, or metallic thread. It's just, you know, anything decorative can be a trim. Can be a trim on pillows and draperies. You can even put cording on upholstery pieces around the seat and back cushions. And trims are really fun. I'll just run through a list of the different types of trimmings that can be put onto pillows, upholstery pieces, and anything you would like really in home decor. You can even put these on lampshades. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Cord with lip is probably one of the most popular ones and affordable. It is a cord that is covered with fabric, and it will be sewn into the seam allowance, and the size of the lip is half an inch, because in home deck, the seam allowance, the standard seam allowance, is half an inch. You really need that half an inch for just being secure enough. The quarter inch seam is just really not going to work in home deck. They also have cord without lip, and usually this is not a fabric-covered cord, but it will be a braided cord. You have seen these where it might be three colors, and they're all braided, and it's a really pretty cord. These are used where they're glued onto things, so they can be glued onto chairs around where they're upholstered at. It's just to, you know, cover up the transition from the fabric to the chair. They can be glued onto cornice and valance boards, and they can also be glued. Here's a nice thing that we sometimes do. We will use cord without a lip to, the wallpaper guy will glue it on the ceiling between like in place of molding. So if it's a, and we usually do this in like a powder room or a bathroom. So if the ceiling and wall does not have any type of crown molding to it, you can glue a braided cord around there. And we usually always do this when we wallpaper ceilings. So that's another kind of unusual use for cord. GIMP tape. GIMP tape is a narrow ribbon-like braided trim, and it's often used in upholstery. So it will be underneath tacks. If your chair has nail trim, another use is to, again, hide seams from the fabric to the chair, or it can also be used in all types of table coverings, pillows. GIMP tape is very versatile and very inexpensive. Decorative tape can be many different sizes. GIMP tape is usually narrow, like 3/8 to a 1/2 inch wide. Decorative tape can be a 1/2 inch wide all the way up to 4 or 5 inches wide. It can be embroidered. It's used for trimming pillows. Wide decorative tape is used a lot on the leading edge of drapery panels and sofa skirts, Roman shades, and bevered coverings as well. Fringe. Fringe can be looped or brush. That soft brush fringe is really nice on pillows. It's mostly used on pillow trims. And I've seen it used occasionally on the lead edges of draperies, but it's not really my favorite thing for draperies. Tassel trim seems to be making a little bit of a comeback right now. It's not the old type where the tassel trim used to be super big and ornate. The tassel trims now are coming out. They're a little bit shorter and more casual fibers. Bullion fringe is another kind of outdated fringe. Bullion are long braided fringe that is used on sofa skirts. So it could be like 9 inches long, and it will be applied at the top of the skirt. And it's just like a little decorative thing. I have seen it come back on a couple of projects that we've done last year, and it was done in a more modern way. And we had this bullion fringe custom colored to the fabric that we were using, and it was all monochromatic. So we had about 3 or 4 colors of the fabric blended into this, and it looked really elegant. Beaded trim could be glass beads, wood beads, stones, tassels or tapes. And beaded trim is really pretty if you put it on the very bottom edge of a Roman shade. The sunlight will come through it and really like prism through glass beads or illuminate them, and either there or even on the bottom of lampshades. They're really pretty. Pom-pom fringe has been pretty popular the last couple of years, and they keep getting bigger. Last year, one of my trim companies released a giant, like jumbo pom-pom trim. I think it's at least like 1 inch in diameter, and I used it on these big pillows that I did. And they are just fun. They're really, really fun. I know they're kind of like trendy right now, but for pillows, it's okay. Because you can always, you know, open up the pillow and change out that trim if you really, really want to. Piping or welt is an interchangeable term. And like the cord with lip, it's a fabric-covered cording with a 1/2 inch lip. And micro welt is really popular. And micro welt is just refers to the size of the diameter of that piping cord, which is usually like 1/8 of an inch or 1/4 of an inch diameter. I love micro welt. I use it a lot. It's a nice type of trim to layer with other things. And it's a really good designer thing to do when you are sewing your own pillows. You would put a micro welt on in between your pillow and another trim. So you could put micro welt and then another, let's say, loop fringe, or most commonly I like to use it with a contrast fabric flange, like a 3/4 inch flange. And a flange with a little cord, and then the pillow is really pretty. I'll put a picture of the pillow that I've made with that micro cord and a flange. All right, so those are the types of trimmings I have for you. And we'll move on to, now that we've gone through the categories, I'm going to move on to the types of fabrics in these categories. So we're about halfway through. I know this can really seem kind of dry, but I hope that I hope I'm making it interesting enough that you get something out of this, and you will be more confident in shopping for upholstery and drapery fabrics. Okay, so let's move on to the types. So upholstery. Chenille is a very popular upholstery fabric because it's really soft. And chenille is another kind of a French origin word. It's the name for caterpillar. Chenille is a fuzzy soft fabric, so I can see why they named it as a caterpillar. Caterpillar? Chenille? It's really soft, cozy, and comfy. It can be made from cotton or polyester, silk, rayon, or blends of any or all of these. Velvet is another upholstery fabric that tends to be maybe a little bit more formal, but there are a lot of now casual velvets made from cotton, and they're really nice. Velvet is a really short cut pile, evenly distributed. It's really smooth and soft. And again, it can be made from many different fibers, silk, cotton, poly, and blends. The one thing with velvet, if you're going to be working with this on your own, is that it does have a nap, which means that one direction of the velvet has a lighter shade to it, because it's the light is reflecting off of it, and the other direction will be a bit darker, depending on which side of the nap it is. So you just have to pay attention to that, because you don't want, like, unless you want to do this purposely, but you don't want like part of your pillow to have the light side of the nap and then the other side have the dark side of the nap. And that's the one thing to watch out for with velvet. Tweeds are really nice if you want to get that kind of Ralph Lauren look. A lot of times they're wool fabrics and they're woven into plain fabrics, twill or herringbone patterns. So that's another type of upholstery fabric. Woven fabrics like damask and jacquard, brocatelle. The patterns of these fabrics are woven into the fabric. They're not printed, so you can see them from both sides. However, the colors of the patterns will be a little different based on the dominant thread of the weave from the front side to the back side, but they can definitely be used. Either side of the fabric can be used based on your preference of how it looks to you. Printed cottons and linens, they're really popular. And in home deck fabrics, a lot of the higher end cottons and linens will be hand blocked, printed. And they this type of fabric just really takes very well to printing and being blocked, printed. And it will just have the pattern on the front, and the backside of the fabric will not have the print won't go through it. One thing to note about this, if you do use printed fabrics, whether they are home deck or quilting fabrics, if you use them for napkins, you will see the backside of the napkins if you fold them in certain ways, or they're being used like that. So in home deck, we really don't choose fabrics where there's not a finished backside to the fabric. If there is, sometimes then we will put a contrast fabric on the back of the napkin. But usually we look for a woven fabric that is two-sided. Just a little side note. Faux leather fabric or vegan leather, it's polyurethane or vinyl, and it has a woven fabric backing. It's very durable, and unlike leather, it will not scratch or mar. It has become so popular, and in high end, most people are using faux leather because it has come a long, long way from where it started. And where it started was kind of like a plasticky vinyl. Now these fabric mills, the high-end ones really make some beautiful ones where sometimes you can't even tell the difference. It's crazy. They will do embossed faux leathers, textured pebbled faux leathers. So that's what I mean where sometimes you can't tell because it'll almost look exactly like leather. Or you'll have the smooth faux leather fabrics. But they are so durable and they're really great to use on furniture pieces. If you have kids and pets, so easy to clean up. And where I like to use it as well is on the seats of dining chairs, even in formal dining rooms, but certainly in kitchen dining chairs, breakfast room dining chairs, because most of the time your spills and messes will go right onto the seat of the chair, not necessarily the back. So it's nice to combine a faux leather on the seat and a complementary fabric on the back of the chair. And if it's a bit more formal, it's fun to put like a velvet on the outside back and a printed pattern fabric on the inside back and then a faux leather on the seat. So just some ideas that you can do, with a DIY or when you're ordering or having things reupholstered. You could do things like that. All right, so types of drapery and multi-purpose fabric. Polyester is inexpensive. It doesn't fade as quickly as natural fibers, but again, it does not drape as well as when it's blended with other fabrics or natural fibers. Cotton is a mid-range price. It can be printed, textured, and blended with other fibers. It has a very nice drape. It does wrinkle, and it does have sun fade. And basically, anything exposed to the sun is eventually going to fade. There is not a single thing that is not going to be affected. Even with UV protection, UV protection really just slows it down and it will take a lot longer for the sun to deteriorate something that's protected with UV protection. Silk is another beautiful drapery fabric. Oh my gosh. In like the early 2000s, silk was like the thing. It was the drapery fabric. I even had, until recently when I put up our new To Me draperies in the living room, I had silk, Buffalo Check. So Buffalo Check silk drapery panels. And I had them up for 20 years. I can't believe I'm saying 20 years. It's just so bizarre. 2002, it just seems like yesterday to me, but that's when I put them up and they lasted pretty well. They were lined, but definitely needed to be changed out. Silk is not really, we don't even use all silk drapery fabric that often anymore, sometimes, but not that often. Silk is a very nice drapery fabric, but it does need interlining to give it structure and body, and it just will mold perfectly to that, and that's why it really drapes so well. And so if you do silk drapery fabrics, at minimum, you will want to have them lined, and if you really want them to look like the best that they can look. You'll interline them. So you'll have the silk front interlining in the middle and the cotton sateen lining on the back. Linen is the popular choice of today, and it's one of my favorite fabrics. I love linen. It has a beautiful drape. It's a beautiful fiber. It doesn't necessarily need lining. You could use linen in lieu of a sheer fabric if you wanted the daylight to filter through those draperies. Let's say like you're in an all seasons room, breakfast room, that sort of thing. However, you'll just have to realize that if it is in a west facing window or south, or even east, actually it was east and west facing, it will get a lot of sunlight and it will fade faster. But it's really pretty. Now, here's the con of linen. If it's 100% linen, gravity will make it grow. It's just the point of it just hanging from the drapery rod and the natural fiber characteristics, it stretches. So you will have draperies that, when they were made, will be about a half an inch above the floor. And then maybe in 6 months to a year, you'll notice, hey, these are touching the floor now. And then maybe another 6 months or so, it might be another, you know, half inch more onto the floor. So they do grow. So it's something to be aware of. And they can either be rehemmed, or you just really, you just accept the natural characteristic of the fabric. The thing that will help with this is if you choose a linen blend. So a linen cotton blend will correct that, and you will not have all of that stretch. So cotton really stabilizes the linen a bit more, and it also has a soft hand. So cotton linen fabric blends are also one of my favorites. Wool is another beautiful type of drapery fabric. And when I say wool, this is a very lightweight fabric. It's very soft and thin. It's not like the wool fabric that you think of with quilting and the wool applique stuff. That's really thick. The wool fabric for draperies is very thin and lightweight, and it's just beautiful. So beautiful. If I could afford wool drapery fabric, oh my gosh, I would totally have it. It's amazing. Linen. Okay, I already talked about linen cotton blend, and that's pretty much it that I have for you today on types of drapery and multi-purpose fabrics. All right, the last thing I'm going to talk about is quilting fabric and how it can be used in home deck projects. The weight of quilting fabric is much lighter than home deck fabric. It's in fact even lighter weight than home deck drapery fabric. So you have to be careful on where you use quilting fabric, but it can be used in many applications with home decor, you know, especially with table linens. Quilting fabrics are great to use for table linens, placemats, table runners, napkins, even tablecloths, although you will have a seam in that. One thing you would want to do is, if you are going to make a tablecloth with a 44-inch wide quilt fabric, you will want to put that fabric in the center that goes down the center of the table, and you will cut two smaller lengths of fabrics to sew on each side of that panel, and your seams will be less visible than if the seam is like right down the middle of the table. And the standard width of quilting fabrics, of course, is 44, and you get more like 41 to 42 inches of usable fabric width. So it's not really ideal for draperies because you will have a seam every 41-2 inches. And that might seem okay to you, except for the fact that if the draperies are pleated up, then that width of 41 inches shrinks down to about 11 inches. In fact, regular drapery with fabrics that are 54 inches wide, when they're pleated, you'll get 5 pleats and your panel will be about 15 inches wide. So you have to keep that in mind with draperies. If you're just doing a rod pocket, then the seams will kind of get a little bit more blended and hidden in with the fullness of a rod pocket. But if you are doing a drapery panel that has much less fullness, it's really just like, you know, the fabric that you're seeing down. Like even grommet panels, those have hardly any fullness to them. I think they're more like 1.5 to 2 times full. Then your seams will definitely be much more visible. So you'll want to stick with home deck drapery with fabric. If you have wide windows, if you're going to close your draperies, and think about where the seams are going to be visible. Roman shades on a narrow window, quilting fabric will do beautifully on. Or if you're doing something like a quilted drapery panel where there's a bunch of seams because it is pieced together, that works as well. There are some quilting fabrics that are in a wider width, like Essex linen. It has neutral colors in like the flax, white, linen colors, and it's 55 inches wide. I love using that fabric for home deck purposes. I've made table linens out of it, and it's really nice. It's a little bit heavier weight than standard quilting weight fabric, so it'll do better with home deck use. And there's other companies like Art Gallery that also has canvas fabrics from some of their printed quilt lines. The canvas fabrics are, I think, geared towards maybe bag making, but also home deck. You can certainly use that canvas weight fabric for draperies. And I think those fabrics might also be a little wider. I'm not 100% sure, but look for canvas weight quilt fabrics. You don't want to look for canvas weight home deck fabric because that's a whole different weight and it's a whole lot thicker and heavier. But quilting canvas type fabrics do very well with your home deck projects. And the other thing with quilting fabrics is also to be aware of the repeat size. A lot of quilt fabrics, of course, are going to be small pattern repeats because you need that for your quilts so that they will be seen in smaller piecing projects. All right, sorry for all the barks. My husband came home, so Cooper is going a little nutty. And I put him, okay, good. He went downstairs. Whew. Okay, where was I? Repeat, that's where I was at. So the pattern repeat. On bigger items like upholstery and draperies, you may not want to use a smaller pattern repeat. So look at some of the fabrics that have bigger statement patterns. Tula Pink has a lot of those. Kay Facet, Anna Maria Horner, Caterina Rochella, Alexander Henry, and so much more. A good use for the small print quilt fabrics is for piping details. You could make the piping around pillows, lead edge details on drapery panels. You can make your own banding down the front edge of the drapery panels. You could also do decorative banding on Roman shades, you know, kind of like trimming the three sides, the length, the bottom, and back up the other side of the length. Quilting fabric is great for shower curtains as well. I love making my own custom shower curtains because I can make them to the fullness and the length that I specify for interior design ones. And they're just so much better than the store-bought ones. The store-bought fabrics of shower curtains are kind of like a little more plasticky, and they are shorter in length and less, they're narrower. So you don't get a really like nice drape from, you know, a shower curtain that you do if you made one yourself. And they're not that hard to make. You can make buttonholes for the shower rings to go through, or grommets, or even ties. But I don't know. I wouldn't do ties. Grommets or buttonholes. I prefer buttonholes to grommets. Using quilting fabrics for upholstery is a tricky thing. I would just never do it on a sofa or a big upholstered lounge chair. It's just too lightweight. And again, with the width of it, you will have seams, and quilting fabrics most likely will not be printed with the pattern salvage to salvage railroaded. That's so you'll have seams if you, I don't know if you're, how many people out there will try to upholster a sofa with a quilt fabric, but just in case you have that idea. I would certainly upholster like little accents, maybe an accent chair, like with a wood frame chair with just like a upholstered seat in the back. You can certainly do that. I would definitely, though, go the extra step and iron on the fusible stabilizer, like the SF-101. It's from Pellon. Ottomans and that sort of thing are great for quilting fabrics. A fun thing you can do is if you are working with an upholsterer and you're having a piece of your furniture reupholstered, you could really make it creative in your own by making your own piping. And that could be out of a quilting fabric, if you like, or home deck, if it's going to be more of a heavy use item. He will tell you, you will ask him or her how many yards they will need of a decorative cording or welt. And they'll tell you, like, maybe they'll need, 5 yards for an ottoman or whatever, how many yards for a sofa. And you can have your sofa cushions and the back cushions welted with your own handmade piping. So that would be a fun thing to do. And that will wrap up textiles for home decor. All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Apologies for getting the episode out a little late, but it is out. And next episode, I have a guest. She is a podcaster in Germany. Her name is Emanuela. I hope I pronounce this right. Emanuela Jeske or Jeske. So that is on the next episode, and we will talk about some really interesting topics on quilting and the differences of quilting in Germany versus other places in the world, like here in the United States. I think you'll be really interested in this episode. And remember to carve out a little time to make and decorate something. Bye-bye! If you would like a bonus episode every month, become a patron and support the Make and Decorate podcast show at my Patreon page, Make and Decorate. For extended show notes with links and photos to what we've talked about, visit my podcast blog at makeanddecorate.com. And remember to take some time for yourself to be creative. Bye-bye.